Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's show, where I welcome back a legend in the biological anthropology field and relationship field. That is Dr. Helen Fisher. And Helen is a biological anthropologist, a senior research fellow at the Kinsey Institute, Indiana University, and acts as Match's chief scientific advisor. She has written 6 books on the evolution, biology, and psychology of human sexuality, monogamy, adultery, and divorce, gender differences in the brain, the neurochemistry of romantic love and attachment, human biologically based personality styles, and other current trends. And Helen, as you will see, or as you will hear, is just full of amazing information and knowledge as it relates to why we do the things we do from a biological evolutionary perspective. I was an anthropology major way back in my late teens, early 20s. What was that? Like 15 years ago? I'm 37. So 17 years ago, easy math. And I remember reading Helen's work then, and it was a pleasure to talk to her. And today we talk about the biological foundations for love and relating and how they influence us and how they can put us into different personality types depending on really our hormones, our gender. And obviously this is layered in with our childhood and our backgrounds and attachment styles. But Helen and I focus on the biology of this. And it was really fascinating to be able to understand how these different things influence us and how we show up in relationships. So I really enjoyed my conversation today with Helen. I hope you guys do too. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If this is the first time you're listening, welcome. If you're a longtime listener, thank you so much. And if you like the show, if you can like and subscribe wherever you're listening and leave us a review, leave us one of those 5-star reviews. We love getting those. It helps us to continue to have these conversations and put it out there. And as I tell Helen in the show, I'm just right there alongside you getting this information and trying to apply it to my life. So good on you for tuning in, for trying to improve yourself and your relationships. Keep up the good work and enjoy today's show. Hi, Dr. Fisher. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
I'm delighted to see you, Chase.
Today, we're going to talk about how understanding our brain chemistry, understanding the different personality types, how that can help us navigate love in relationships better. And I'm just so happy to be talking with you because you have such an extensive background in research in the evolutionary basis of why we do the things we do. It's so fascinating. And we're bringing that into the modern day world, modern day relationships. So maybe we could start with having you tell our listeners why you enjoy kind of applying your extensive knowledge and from the research and everything that you've done to helping people in their relationships today.
Why do I enjoy it? Well, first of all, I mean, we all want to help everybody. I mean, you know, finding the right partner is the most important thing we do with our lives. And, you know, I mean, people who have a good, healthy, happy partnership live 5 to 10 years longer. So there's that. also, I learn a lot. I learn a lot from other people as I'm doing it. You know, and so it's all very valuable. I also, you know, I'm an identical twin. And long ago, by the time you're 5 and 6, everybody asked twins, you know, do you have the same cavities in your teeth? Do you have the same friends? Do you like the same food? And one person said to me, I remember I was standing in the hallway in my mother's house, maybe I was 7 or 8. And one of mother's friends said, do you and your twin sister think alike? And I thought at the time, how would I know how she thinks? But anyway, it led me on a lifelong journey of trying to figure out the biology of behavior. I mean, you know, we are marinated in psychology, and your childhood certainly plays a role. Your experiences certainly play a role, but that's only about half the puzzle of who you are and who you're drawn to. A good 40 to 60% of differences between people does come from their biology. So I think being an identical twin and trying to fill in this second half of the puzzle has been one of my intellectual, joys. But I mean, working with people and learning about their lives and seeing if you can make a difference is always, of course, a great personal joy.
That leads us nicely into one of the topics that I want to talk about, and that is how understanding the brain chemistry of love in relationships can help us navigate them better. And it's just fascinating to learn. So what are some of the major things that you think are important for people to learn when it comes to understanding how our biology is influencing mate selection and once we're in relationships?
Well, mate selection, that's an important word. Why do you fall in love with one person rather than another? I mean, that's essential. And that's my next book. You know, I wrote a book on that, Why Him, Why Her, 14 years ago. And now I'm right in the middle of writing my second book on that. I did a lot in between. But just to start out with, you know, something basic about the brain, I mean, I and my colleagues, I think, as you know, have put over 100 people into the brain scanner and studied the brain circuitry of romantic love. We've evolved three distinctly different brain systems for mating and reproduction, sex drive being one, feelings of intense romantic love being the second, and feelings of deep attachment being the third. So I really focused on romantic love. I mean, this is when you pine for love, you kill for love, you die for love. When you think about the plays, the operas, the poems, the novels, the sitcoms, the holidays, the cards and letters, the operas, the symphonies, the ballet, I mean, we're marinated in this basic brain system. And of course, I understand why. As I said, you know, you're trying to find life's greatest prize, which is a mating partner, somebody to send your DNA on into tomorrow. So the first thing I really wanted to know is, what is this thing called romantic love? And sure enough, what's most important, I think, for people to understand, particularly, well, not only most of us, but the people in the helping professions, it's a drive. This is a basic mating drive that came. It lies, the little factory that makes dopamine and sends dopamine to many brain regions, giving you that focus, the motivation, the craving, et cetera. That little factory that creates intense feelings of romantic love lies right next to the factory that orchestrates thirst and hunger. Thirst and hunger keep you alive today. Romantic love drives you to form a partnership and send your DNA into tomorrow. So this is a survival mechanism. And indeed, it triggers activity in the main brain region linked with addiction. A wonderful addiction when it's going well, and a perfectly horrible addiction when it's going poorly. So I do think that right off the bat, people need to really embrace the fact that this evolved millions of years ago. It's a survival mechanism. It drives us to want love, to seek love, to try to keep love, to feel into despair when we lose love, and to love again. So right off the bat, you know, that's, I think, a central thing that people, you know, a lot of people say, I'm going crazy. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't think about anything but her. I've gone and I've quit my job. I've moved to China. Why did I do this? Well, for good Darwinian reasons.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me, this line between the evolutionary basis for why we do what we do. We're talking about love and mating, mate selection, and also having the awareness to break from that in a sense. We don't know exactly what's going on in a lion's head, but they're operating on a more, you know, I don't know how to describe it, less aware level of, they're more primal, more acting on the biology. And I think that's what makes the human experience so unique, obviously, is that we have this biology, we have these drives, and we can go, oh, wait, maybe that's not the best decision to move to China, even though inside I got this strong urge for all these reasons. And I think that's what causes a lot of pain, but also it brings a lot of joy and beauty. And so how do you think about understanding the biological drive and balancing that with reason and our ability to navigate relationships with maybe logic and less just instinct?
Yeah. Well, but, you know, as Pascal said, I don't have the exact quote, but he said something that reason always gives way to passion. There's all kinds of things that we do that when you looked at it, it was not a good idea. And in fact, there's a whole brain region linked with negativity bias. We are built to remember the negative. I mean, for millions of years, if you chase and I, Helen, were walking along the grasslands of Africa, we knew we liked each other very much, but we forgot who didn't like us. We could die. So we remember the negative. And in fact, when you're madly in love, activity in that region declines. It deregulates. So the bottom line is you can overlook the fact, well, I don't know, she's Chinese and, you know, I live in Brazil and, you know, she's married and, well, I'm married too, but, oh, we can work on this. We can work this out. So the bottom line is it's very difficult to keep your mind about you. In fact, basic brain regions in the prefrontal cortex right behind your forehead also reduce in activity. So your decision-making is also compromised. And so one of the things that I say to people is, you know, if you're madly in love with somebody and you got major decisions to make, really you should, you know, court for a couple more years until some of this settles down, recedes a little, so that you can think more realistically about it. But, you know, we were built to think unrealistically because this drive is such an important Darwinian mechanism for sending your DNA on into tomorrow. But, you know, I guess we have our friends who can say, you know, that doesn't make sense, Helen. And you can list it out. But I mean, how many times have we all known perfectly well intellectually, I'm not going to call her. I'm not sending that text message. I'm not going to go to that party and run into this person. I'm not going to do this, da da da. And we do it anyway. We do it anyway. I mean, this is what all of our great, you know, theater and love and poems and operas and plays and everything play. We can see perfectly rationally what somebody else's mistake is, but they don't follow it. But I do think the more the people, just like you said, I mean, I'm hoping the more you understand about the brain, the more you can just overcome this. You know, it's a little like giving up sugar. You know, I mean, we're talking about things as strong as hunger and thirst. Well, you can lose weight. You know, I mean, for example, I mean, it's an addiction. We know it's an addiction. It activates the same little brain region, the nucleus accumbens associated with all of the addictions. But people do give up alcohol. They give up smoking. They give up hard drugs. They can give up gambling. And, you know, we have all kinds of mechanisms. I believe very strongly in the AA tradition. You can change the brain, you can look the other direction, and eventually it will recede. Addictions do recede. A beautiful day comes when you no longer wake up thinking about her, pining for him, and you go on. I mean, you know, we are also built to recover and to go on and find something that is the right thing. But you know, and here's where you started out. You got to pick the right person. If you want a really good relationship, you got to pick the right person right out the gate. And that's what my most recent material is about.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's say those feelings are bubbling up and we can't help them. And how can we, or what are maybe some questions we can ask ourselves to be like, is this person the right person and not just someone that I'm lusting for because I'm very physically attracted to them? And, you know, that seems to be a major one.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because lust is a very different brain system than romantic love. You know, as I mentioned, we've really evolved three distinctly different brain systems for mating and reproduction. One is a sex drive. Second is feelings of intense romantic love. And the third is these feelings of deep attachment. And lust and romantic love can actually trigger each other. This is a problem. You know, people will get into bed with somebody because they find them very sexually attractive. And then sure enough, any stimulation of the genitals drives up the dopamine system and can trigger feelings of romantic love. And then with orgasm, there's a real flood of oxytocin, and that is linked with feelings of deep attachment. So this is why casual sex is not casual. You can start out just with the lust and then trigger these feelings of romantic love and attachment. One of the things that a lot of people make the mistake of, they assume that relationships start with the lust, then go to the romantic love, and then go to the attachment. That's not true. These are basic brain systems. You can walk into a room and immediately think, oh, is she cool? Oh, is he cool? And start the romantic love process first, then get into them and find the lust. You can even start with feelings of deep attachment. Somebody that you know at work or at school or you're in a social group, and you like the person very well, but you're going out with somebody else, so are they, and you don't really think about it. Then all of a sudden, you know, times change. You both become more single and available. And suddenly they say something that's funny or charming or cute or understanding. And boom, you can trigger the romantic love from the attachment to the romantic love and finally to the lust. But to answer your question, I actually do think that most people who, I'm not positive this is true too for a lot of people, but the bottom line is, a lot of people will start having sex with somebody and know the sex is really good, but know perfectly well that this is not the kind of person you're going to marry. This is a, you know, you want it to be more of a fling, but the bottom line is they're not the right age. They're not the right background. They don't basically have the same interests. I think an awful lot of people do understand the distinction, the feelings. I mean, lust is a very simple thing. You know, it's driven by the testosterone system. It can be triggered instantly. But you know, when you ask somebody to go to bed with you and they say no, thank you, you don't kill yourself. You don't jump out the window. You know, when you are rejected in love, people can really, you know, become terribly addicted to somebody, do all kinds of stupid things, even kill themselves or kill somebody else. So they're very different brain systems. They often go together, but not always. And, you know, you'll see somebody, I remember, you know, this girlfriend was madly in love with a man and he was madly in love with her. Well, they went off to Bali to do an anthropological project for about 6 months. And she discovered that he was actually sleeping with another woman. And it really hurt her. It hurt the relationship. But the one thing the guy kept saying is, he said, well, it was just sex. Well, I don't want to excuse him for it. And I'm not excusing him for it. But frankly, it could have been just sex. So they're different brain systems. What we want in a relationship is all three. And the way to get all three, well, I mean, if you want to sustain all three, you know, novelty, novelty, novelty drives up the dopamine system in the brain and can sustain or trigger feelings of romantic love. As if you have sex with somebody, it drives up testosterone and you want more sex with them. And that third brain system of attachment, if you want to sustain attachment or even trigger attachment, kissing drives up oxytocin. In a longer relationship, but holding hands, walking arm in arm, sleeping arm in arm, sitting next to each other on the couch while you watch TV, et cetera, any kind of touch. So just realizing that there are these three brain systems, that any one of them can be triggered. Attachment takes time. Sex drive can be triggered instantly. You just look at somebody, you're ready to have some sex, and that person fits somewhat within your basic category of suitable, and you have the sex. Romantic love, we carry in our head a list of what we're looking for in a partner. And even if they don't fit in completely, when you're ready to fall in love, they can say something cute and boom, you can trigger that brain circuitry. So attachment is the one that takes time. The other two, sex drive and romantic love, really can be triggered instantly if this person fits within some parameters of what you're actually looking for.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. After a decade of hosting this podcast and talking to hundreds of experts, we know that money is one of the biggest stressors in relationships. Now, while worrying about money and anxiously awaiting payday doesn't help, Earnin actually does by putting the money you earn in your hands today. Our sponsor, Earnin, is an app that gives you access to your pay-as-you-work up to $100 a day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an additional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Many couples end up fighting about finances, especially when surprise costs arise. Earnin allows you to seamlessly deal with the unexpected trip to the vet or that splurge on date night without the added stress, letting you both focus on what really matters. Earnin is helping millions of Americans feel self-sufficient and to worry and fight less about money. All of this without debt traps, mandatory fees, or credit checks. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in relationship advice under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. That's relationship advice under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Women's health, especially PMS and perimenopause, has been one of those chronically neglected areas when it comes to research and solutions. Thankfully, we have today's sponsor, Happy Mammoth. Our sponsor, Happy Mammoth, saw that there were no effective nature-inspired solutions to these issues. So they made one. Estrocontrol. Relationship advice listeners can now get 15% off your entire order on happymammoth.com with our promo code IDO at checkout. Estrocontrol contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormonal health. The way Estrocontrol eases PMS is pretty interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that is where all of our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when estrogen isn't processed well in the liver, some women may start having PMS symptoms, like spots on the skin, cravings, and feeling low all of a sudden. Estrocontrol was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month. Estrocontrol is made especially for women who are premenopausal. It's really great for perimenopause when hormones start to fluctuate and PMS becomes really rough. I personally struggle from PMS firsthand, from super discomfort to just not feeling like myself. PMS has put me through the ringer time and time again, and I know it's not just me. I've seen my relationship suffer in those times when PMS takes over. Estrocontrol works to relieve many of those consuming PMS symptoms, helping us regain control. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with a promo code IDO at checkout. That's happymammoth, M-A-M-M-O-T-H.com, and use the promo code IDO for 15% off your first order.
You were talking about longer term relationships and what they require, these three areas, and introducing novelty. And it just made me think of something you said earlier of negativity bias and how I've noticed personally, and that can be kind of the, I don't want to say the death knell, but that can just drive down the other feelings unnecessarily, because we do have that hardwiring to look for the threat. And then depending on our attachment style, there's layers here, but let's just talk about that basic evolutionary response. And I found, and maybe you can comment on this, but really having a practice of gratitude in general is positive. This is nothing new. It's been said before, but in the context of a relationship and to combat that negativity bias of going, oh, my partner just did that thing that I don't like. And it's, you know, some quirky thing, but we focus on it, and then pumping the brakes and going, hey, but what are all the amazing, great things that my partner does? And maybe not even waiting until they do that thing, but just reminding yourself continually. I think that's such a great antidote to that, especially in longer term relationships where we get comfortable and then we start to, you know, maybe look for the flaws more easily, but just to constantly try to focus on the positive, focus on what you're thankful for in your partner.
And so you've got that right. And by the way, that's basic psychology, and it's great. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons to sustain a relationship that are psychological. This is what the brain says. What we did is we put people into the brain scanner. They were all married an average of 21 years. Most of them had grown children. They were all in their 50s and 60s. They all came into the lab saying, I'm still in love with her. Not just loving, but in love with her. So we gave them a lot of questionnaires, including a happiness questionnaire. And we put them in the brain scanner. And sure enough, the same brain circuits from the base of the brain became active, pumping out the dopamine. We also showed activity in brain regions linked with attachment and the sex drive. But this is what happens in the brain. This is the three brain regions that become active in your, when you're in a long-term happy partnership. One, the brain region linked with empathy. They are empathetic with their partner. Number two, they are able to control their own stress and their own emotions. They're not drama queens. Last but not least, they are able to overlook the negative. That's exactly what you just said, Chase. Overlook the negative. It's called positive illusions. And you just gave the perfect example. Now, for example, I adore my husband. I even check to see if he wrote me during the day if I'm not at home. I mean, I'm not nuts. I mean, it's been 9 years. I'm just crazy about him. The guy can't turn a light off. He just can't turn the light off. And the bottom line is, so we are what they call LAT, living apart together. We go back and forth between our two homes. And a couple nights a week, I'm with my girlfriends, and he's very happy doing his stuff. So the bottom line is, in my house, the lights are very fancy. I don't know how to get up on a ladder and even unscrew the not the light bulb, but the whole thing around it. I don't even know what kind of bulbs are in there. He says, well, you just change the bulb. I can't change the bulb. I'm not just trying to preserve the environment. I can't change the light bulb. And I would beg him, please turn the lights off. I've even tried cajoling and making a joke about it. Oh, if you turn the lights off, I will do this. Try to make a little competition. Anything doesn't work. And I finally said, okay, Helen, he's never going to turn off a light, but he's so hilarious. He's so competent. He's wonderful in bed. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. At some point, you just have to give up and do your positive illusions. And that's what we saw in these long-term happy couples. Activity in that brain region linked with negativity bias was reduced. And these people were able to overlook the negative. It's absolutely essential to a long-term relationship. And I mean, also, there's all the psychological things. I mean, what John Gottman says, you know, don't criticize, don't be defensive, don't be critical. There's two C's. Don't show contempt. Don't be critical. Don't show contempt. Don't stonewall. And don't be defensive. Yeah. And there's all kinds of good psychological things. All I'm saying is what the brain says, you know, be empathetic, control your own stress, your own emotions, and overlook the negative. And pick the right person. We still haven't gotten to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about that. And it's like that adage, like, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And
that's a wonderful thing to say.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, obviously, we have to understand our boundaries, and it's not just whatever your partner does is okay. We need to know what our values are and our boundaries. But then within that, it's like, do you want to prove your point and make your partner the bad guy, or do you want to be happy in a happy relationship? And that's when we have to understand our deeper psychology of why we feel the way we do, why we think we need to be right, when it's really maybe just a childhood wound that if you were wrong in a discussion, you were meant to feel bad, and that shows up in adulthood, and it's complicated. But that's a great baseline understanding to have awareness around. Yeah, let's talk about choosing the right partner as far as some compatibility, maybe personality traits or things that we can think about when we're like, hey, we're either dating early on or we're thinking about taking a relationship maybe to the next level.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
You know, this is what Match.com came and asked me in 2005, 2 days before Christmas. They called me, asked me to, you know, come in. I was delighted. Came in 2 days after Christmas, and a whole pile of people piled in the room. I couldn't even figure out what was going on. Anyway, finally, in the middle of the morning, the CEO asked me, "Why do you fall in love with one person rather than another?" And there's a lot of basic psychological things that we all know. I mean, you know, we tend to fall in love with somebody from the same ethnic and socioeconomic background, same degree of intelligence, good looks, and education, somebody with the same political and social and religious values, somebody who's got the same economic and reproductive goals. Your childhood plays a role always, but you can walk into a room and everybody is from your background and same level of intelligence and good looks and education, and you don't fall in love with all of them. So I began to think to myself, could we have evolve some sort of systems to be naturally drawn to some people rather than others. So I began to look through the medical and academic literature, looking for any trait at all linked with any system in the brain. Now, most systems in the brain keep the eyes blinking or the heart beating. They got nothing to do with personality. But four of them do. The dopamine, serotonin, testosterone, and estrogen systems, is each one of them linked with a constellation, a suite, a bucket, a group of personality traits. So I created a questionnaire to see to what degree you express the traits in all four of these basic brain systems. And I put that on Match.com, and over 15 million people in 40 countries have now taken this questionnaire. And I've been able to watch who's naturally drawn to whom. First impulse, naturally drawn to whom. And as it turns out, people who are very, now we all express some of the traits in all four of these systems. That's the problem with most personality questionnaires. They put you in one bucket or another. Not true. But anyway, people are very expressive of the traits in the dopamine system. I call these people explorers. They're drawn to people like themselves. They tend to be risk-taking, novelty-seeking, curious, creative, spontaneous, energetic, and mentally flexible people. They are drawn to people like themselves, other explorers. People who are very expressive of the traits in the serotonin system, Mike Pence in America is a good example. Mitt Romney was a good example. Queen Elizabeth, I think, was a good example. These people, I call them builders. They're traditional, conventional. They follow the rules. They respect authority. They're detail-oriented, tend to be religious, and they are also drawn to people like themselves. Traditional wants traditional. In those two cases, similarity attracts. Dopamine goes for dopamine. Serotonin goes for serotonin. In the other two cases, opposites attract. Testosterone goes for estrogen, and estrogen goes for testosterone. And people are very high on the testosterone system. I call directors. Terrible term. I should have called them driver or something else, but I'm stuck with it. 15 million people taking this questionnaire. So, but anyway, the bottom line is these people tend to be analytical, logical, direct, decisive, tough-minded, good at things like math, engineering, computers, music. Music's very structural. And they are drawn to their opposite, the high estrogen people I call negotiators. These people see the big picture. They see long term. They're contextual, holistic thinkers, imaginative, intuitive, very good at people skills, at reading posture, gesture, tone of voice, and empathetic. And they also go for their opposite. So let me give you an example. My husband and myself, we're both very high dopamine. We've both gone all over the world many times. We're both very curious about all kinds of things. We're fine. Dopamine goes for dopamine. Two explorers. He's very high on testosterone, and I'm very high on estrogen. Also very good. He can fix anything, you know, and I'd get lost in the bathtub. I mean, I'm so spatially stupid. It's unbelievable. But we both have. Anyway, the bottom line is but he's higher on the serotonin system than I am. He's more likely to follow the rules. Now, I'll follow the rules of the road. I don't want to be roadkill. But if the rule doesn't make any sense to me, I don't bother. Whereas he bothers. And an example would be, we were walking along one day, and there was this big triangle. I live in New York City. It was a big, you know, you could cut across the triangle to get to the subway. Well, there was a tiny little sign on this thing that said, don't walk on the grass. There wasn't any grass. There hadn't been any grass for 25 years. So I started to walk. And he said, you can't walk on the grass. I said, but there isn't any grass. You can't walk on the grass. So he didn't walk on the grass. I mean, okay, he followed a rule. I mean, you know, and the bottom line is, I mean, I'm all for psychology, but it is there's a good half of who we are that does have, and the fact that he didn't want to walk on the grass, nothing to do with me, Helen Fisher. It's who he is. And then you do a workaround. But I do think that when you spend focus so much on childhood, that you miss a whole aspect of who somebody is, who that is not likely to change a lot. And so, you know, overlook it. Think of the, you know, positive illusions.
I love that example, and I'm sure those listening can relate. I'm certainly relating to the not being a rule follower. And then, yeah, we can either in that situation go, oh, my partner, that they always want to follow the rules. It's so annoying. Or we can, you know, positive illusion, be like, oh, that's cute. They don't, you know, that's so cute. They don't want to break the rules. And then also, you know, show love towards ourselves of like, ha, you know, like I'm a little rebel. This is fun. I like doing this.
And by the way, you know, this guy's going to follow the rules of our marriage.
Yes.
You know, I mean, what's important, you know, can't turn out a light, can't walk on the grass, but he's going to be faithful to me all my life. I mean, really, Helen? Is there... So, I mean, it just all of, and this is my next book too. I mean, I wrote a book on it 14 years ago called Why Him, Why Her? And I really focused on just love and these four personality styles. But since then, I have been able to use this questionnaire, 56 questions. You can take it in 10 minutes. It's all over the internet. But I was able to validate the questionnaire. In other words, what I did is I had people take the questionnaire and then I put them in the brain scanner using fMRI. So in other words, if you scored high on the traits in the dopamine system, you also showed more activity in the entire brain pathway for dopamine. So it's the only questionnaire in the world that has been really validated with brain scanning. So, and that's why I'm writing this next book, because I want to apply my understanding of personality, not only to love, which I certainly continue to do, but also to business and, you know, politics. And I mean, you know, I'm an anthropologist and biologic. For millions of years, we lived in these little hunting and gathering groups. All four of these brain systems were necessary in a team. So I write about how you build a team, how you lead, how you understand your colleagues, how you talk to your colleagues, how you stimulate innovation, how you could sell to all four of these styles of thinking. I actually don't believe in the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. I believe in the platinum rule, do unto others as they would have done unto themselves. In other words, you can say what you got to say, but figure out how they're going to hear it. For example, when I'm with somebody who's very high serotonin, I don't go with my big idea first. I give all the details and work up to it. If I'm with somebody who's very high testosterone, I get straight to the point. No ancillary, no, but take a look at this as well, da-da-da-da. You know, and if I'm with high estrogen, I'll ask them about their family first. We'll get around to what's being said and necessary. So it's, you know, it's a new way to understand people and connect with them on a very natural, visceral, even biological way.
Thank you for all of that. We'll have the links to that questionnaire in our show notes. And just to wrap up here, with everything you're saying, I think one of the things I'm taking away is that biologically we are wired in different ways. You know, we obviously, right? And then getting into the gender differences as well, like we are different. And in relationship, I think a big mistake that I've made and others as well is that if we don't like something, we try to change our partner. We try to change the person we're interacting with. If they would only do this, then we'll be okay. And instead, shifting more towards curiosity and why am I feeling this way? And why are they feeling this way? And having this understanding of our biology and going, wow, we are drastically different. You know, my partner would never cross on the grass when it says no. And for me, it's like, of course I'm going to. And instead of focusing on why that's a bad thing or how I'd be like, wow, that's amazing and that we're different and beautiful and that they're essentially just a product of their biology. It's not an excuse for bad behavior and there's layers to this. But I think having that overall understanding, that's one of the reasons it's so valuable is that we can have that and we can have more empathy. We can have more compassion. We can create those positive illusions a lot better than if they're like, oh, why won't they just be like how I want them to be, like me? It's like, no, they're different. They had a different childhood, different biology. And it's really fascinating, the work that you're doing, and important to understand. So thank you, Helen.
Tell me just a little bit about yourself. Are you a psychologist?
No. We started this podcast with my now ex-wife. We've been divorced for 4 years now, 8 years ago. And the whole goal was to get relationship advice. We were starting it as a business and to have interesting conversations with people like yourself. And I always was fascinated by relationships. I told you in the pre-show, I was an anthropology major. I like to know why we do the things we do. And through the evolutionary lens, it, to me, is fascinating. And I love to be able to have these conversations and share them with people and gain the knowledge right there alongside everyone.
Well, it was very good for me too, you know, and thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Helen. We'll have the links to that questionnaire and your website. And then definitely, I don't know if the information on your new book is out there yet, but we'll be sure to link to the old book and we'll be on the lookout for that new one.
Thank you very much, kid.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.